Is your team not performing well? Is morale low and turnover high? Are you falling further behind the competition? I'm here to help. I'm your host, Shaney, and this is The Leadership Show, where business strategy and culture finally meet, and we make the long-awaited shift from rhetoric to results. I promise I'm not your typical boring leadership consultant, and I will help you get your shift together. Let's do this. Hello, Leadershifters, and welcome to another episode of the Leadershifter Show with Shaney. It is my pleasure to introduce you to today's guest, Mike Horn, who is joining us from San Francisco. Mike is a fellow executive coach and leadership OD consultant, all things trying to make leaders their best selves in service of all people in our organizations, being able to show up as their best selves. And we have a few particularly exciting things to talk about today that you're going to want to stay tuned for. First is Mike's new book called Integrity by Design, Working and Living Authentically. It's all about the tagline, right?
Yes.
And Mike also has a long history of HR and organizational development in some world-class organizations dating back to Marriott International and a host of technology and biotech firms ranging from Nortel and Brocade to Genentech and Gilead. Like, it's a who's who of the NASDAQ, really. And so he'll have a lot of real personalized wisdom that he can bring to us from his former days and now as a consultant. And I knew that I would click with Mike for a few reasons. One, he came highly recommended from another recent podcast guest on the show, Bev Kay, who I love. And we have 90 shared LinkedIn connections. So I know that I only know good people. So if 90 of them also know Mike, then Mike, by definition, is good people. So Mike, welcome to the Leadership Show.
Well, thank you so much, Shaney. That is quite an introduction. I was thinking about one of the words about sharing wisdom, and I'm reminded of the expression that wisdom is someone else's experience. So it's always a way of thinking, how do we communicate sagaciousness or our sagacity? And it's a wonderful topic to explore. And I am just so delighted to be with you today on leadership. I can't imagine a more appropriate way to think about the topic of transition and leader and how leaders create shift in organizations and how, in order to do that, they often need to create a shift in themselves. So just fascinated on the topic and look forward to our conversation and discussion today.
Yeah, perfect. You know, I couldn't stay away from the word leadership, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, because I felt like that was the theme of so much that I was doing and colleagues like you were doing, both, or not just at the organizational level, but at the team level. And of course, at the root of it all is at the individual level. And as a fellow author, you'll probably get a kick out of the name of my first chapter in my book, which is called The Better Boss Blueprint, is Get Your Own Shit Together First.
Yeah. I also like the expression, shift happens.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm curious, actually, to start off with, what made you finally decide to shift from corporate, you can't even call it corporate America anymore, corporate world,
right,
to doing your own thing and becoming a coach, consultant, and entrepreneur in the process?
There are a couple ways for me to explore that and consider that with you and your audience. And I think about my entire career focused on teaching, mentoring, and coaching individuals. I've done that as a university teacher and in a number of institutions, both in brick and mortar campuses and in online environments. I think about the work that I did as a consultant, some of the big consulting firms and the global experiences that they provided to me in terms of performance management and employee engagement. And I think about the other opportunities I've had in my career as an independent in the past, working with some clients such as HP, ExxonMobil, Darden Restaurants, working on inclusion and diversity advancement and leadership advancement at the same time. They all sort of go together. And then the ability to lead some HR teams, to serve as an executive committee member in just some great organizations, primarily in the biopharma space, but also in the technology, software, hardware areas, and in hospitality as well. So what I like to think about, Shaney, is that, you know, as I think about midlife, we're given these two periods of midlife. One is from the 40s to the 60s, then the 60s and to the 80s. And I have to say that I think I've had horrible role models and mentors and teachers because they've all worked until they're 80 or until they have died. And unfortunately, I think that's the path that we choose when, you know, we're in love with supporting others and their successes.
And so it's at a certain point you decided, I want to take more ownership. I'm going to take control. And instead of working for a big organization, I'm going to do the work I want to do and spread the wisdom around.
In my last corporate role, I was leading an HR team, and I supported a brilliant scientific team and a research organization in a large biopharmaceutical company. And I worked with my client was the chief research officer for this organization, okay, who essentially helped to make HIV a chronic disease, who helped bring the cure about for hepatitis C, and who had done some amazing things in his career. So as he was beginning to retire and I was thinking about, you know, what's next in this relaunch, it was the perfect timing, particularly as I had Integrity by Design coming out in May 2021 and had a plan to, you know, connect with others more broadly and more deeply on topics that are so important to helping scientists and engineers and people who are who have succeeded based on their technical expertise, with helping them with some of the most important transitions and team developments they have in their careers. And I bring that experience, I mean, from technology and from a science background.
Got it. Okay. And folks, Mike's business is called Authentic Change, and it's also the name of his podcast. So, you know, so we notice Authentic is the name of his business, the name of his podcast, and Authenticity or Authentically in the name of his book. So I'm sensing a theme, right?
Yeah.
So there's usually a backstory about why someone is so passionate about something. There's a lot to be passionate about in the leadership space. And it seems to me that there's something around authenticity for you in your messaging. Is there, and if so, what is the backstory on that, if you wouldn't mind sharing?
Right. I think the backstory is, as I've reflected on my recent work, it is about helping others to have a best friend at work. And, you know, you could trace that back to the Gallup work on the Q12 as a indicator, as an important indicator of employee engagement, the sense of having a best friend at work.
Yeah.
So what I think about and what I write about and where I coach is, you know, when we have a best friend at work, we know a few things. We know that someone has our back. We know that someone will say, oh, you got this, Shaney, right? Mm-hmm. Those kinds of ways of being and ways of working, which I believe produce extraordinary results. I mean, we're part of so many groups and teams and organizations, and the ability to bring more of who you are, to bring your best, to grow your prosperity. For me, that's what's so important. And that in addition to a set of humanistic values, the idea that there we find respect in everything and dignity, that we grow inclusiveness around us by having diverse people and diverse ideas near us. Those are the values that drive me. And when I think about authenticity, in particular, in addition to these concepts about having a best friend at work, I think about congruency.
Okay.
And, you know, as Jung observed, I mean, the journey of a lifetime is becoming the person we are, right?
Yes.
And that's for me what I, you know, not only work on, but pour my passion and interest into is helping particularly technical people bring their best to every situation and their teams.
Yep. I like juxtaposing. Is that the right? That's the word, juxtaposing.
Yeah, that's the word, juxtaposing, sure.
Authenticity and congruency in your explanation. And it also makes sense, given that you've worked with a lot of left brain types, you know, the engineers, the tech folks. Congruency makes sense in a scientific context. When it comes to emotional intelligence and those sorts of things, there also has to be congruency. And maybe by helping them understand where congruency exists in science and why it's important, they can more easily make the leap to congruency in relationships and congruency in communication and our actions and our words and all the things that create psychological safety in the workplace, which is missing in many, many organizations.
Yeah, you probably say most. When I think about congruency, you know, it is this alignment between what we say and do. You know, back to Jung, I mean, Jung said that you're not what you say you are what you do. So, you know, just by extension, I mean, thinking about attitudes and behaviors and cognitions or ways of thinking, you know, congruency is all about, you know, do your words, actions, and even better, do your, you know, thoughts align? Do those all align? And when they do, what we know is that generally happiness prevails. And I don't mean the kind of happiness that comes from, you know, having a new boyfriend or girlfriend or a new partner or the birth of a child or a marriage. I mean, just the sustained happiness. And one of my mentors with whom I studied coaching, and I'd be curious as to your experiences, Shaney, in this regard, believe that, or used to say that we coach to eliminate suffering, more of a Buddhist orientation. I think the reason we do it is to increase happiness, but maybe those are just different sides of the same coin.
Well, you know, one's the glass half empty and one's the glass half full. And I'm with you. I always like to coach in pursuit of what we want rather than running away from what we don't.
Right. Yeah. And I, you know, as a former Peace Corps volunteer, return Peace Corps volunteer, I always see the world as, you know, and, well, people more, I think, but, you know, as one worthy of love, everyone deserves to be loved. But two is, you know, we are the containers of possibility, and we can't neglect our interpersonal relationships in this regard, because it is in those interpersonal relationships extended through teams from which most innovation arises. And that's what keeps us going, I think.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure you've run into folks like this as well. I mean, I know what my answer would be. And of course, I'm interviewing you, so I want to hear what your answer is to this. When people in organizations take the stance, this is work, I don't have friends at work, I keep my personal life to myself, you know, whatever the narrative is that would cause someone to resist the idea of having a best friend at work.
Mm-hmm. Well, fantasy about the separation of work and life. I mean, that's number one, is a fantasy.
Yes, that's so true.
You know, what I often do when I'm meeting with groups and talking about issues of authenticity and integrity, and I want to go back to an earlier point you raised around engineers and the concept of integrity. Integrity is of whole cloth, but structural engineers might refer to it as, you know, it all hangs together well.
Right.
And what I know about, you know, trust and integrity, because trust is at the basis of authentic leadership, is that if I don't trust someone, I'm not likely to think they have integrity.
That's right.
And if I don't think somebody has integrity, I won't trust them. And if we know that, you know, our building blocks to productivity and to prosperity are built through our authentic relationships, it has to start with some basis of trust. And I'm not naive enough to think that you can trust everyone about everything. That's not possible. But what we do, what authentic leaders do, is they work towards purpose and mission in creating the kinds of environments to which people can be attracted. And to your earlier point, psychologically safe.
Yep, absolutely. You know, I think the idea of integrity of a structure became another way for people to really understand what integrity means, sadly, because of the lack of integrity of the building in Surfside, Florida, which is about 20 miles from where I live, the tragedy.
Oh my goodness, so sorry for everyone there.
Of what happened there, you know, the literal integrity of the building was compromised, and it's the reason it collapsed. Well, let's think about how that translates to human interactions and teams. And when the integrity of the team, people not trusting each other, people not communicating clearly and openly and transparently, that's what the, you know, maybe not as life-threatening, but the consequences will be there when the lack of integrity on that team structure finally gives way.
Well, great example. And, you know, and that was complete systems failure. And you think about, you know, integrity, it's one of those words that gets bounced around a lot. I mean, you can take the classic Enron case where integrity was the number one value and it really didn't mean anything. More recently, Wells Fargo. And, you know, think about the executive departures at United Airlines. I mean, we've entered a point in executive compensation now where we still pay out these huge golden parachutes, even if there's corruption or integrity among leaders of organizations.
So crazy.
It is crazy.
And yet organizations still can't figure out how to align incentives all across the organization.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with most of the folks with whom I work and have an opportunity to be connected, I mean, people want to do their best. And yet, you know, given certain... given our social stratifications, systemic injustices that persist, I mean, we seem to prevent people from bringing more of who they are to what they do. To your point earlier, I want to get back to that question, which I think I neglected, is I often ask people, can you be more authentic at work or at home? And you know what the answer is. People all say, oh, I'm much more authentic than I am at work. And I just think, what, you know, what do we leave on the table?
Right.
And therefore the separation of work and life, you know, again, fantasy, these are integrated. I think we used to talk about work and life balance. And, you know, what we often describe now is how do I create a blend that works, particularly for people who are working from home, for those who are required to go into offices and have the uncertainty of working with colleagues who may or may not have been vaccinated or other risks.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, having a best friend at work doesn't mean you have to be best friends with everyone at work. It just means like have your person.
Right.
That you can trust. And, you know, the benefits of it are almost unquantifiable to have someone that, like, as you said, has your back, that cheerleads you, that, you know, that you can go and be yourself in a broom closet for five
sure.
minutes before you put the game face back on for the
yeah.
meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so important to create an environment where people feel able to bring more of who they are to what they do. And that requires a leader to have a great deal of self-awareness for him or her or themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. So a few, another topic that I wanted to ask you about is, I know that you're certified in something that I've actually been considering adding to my like long list of things that I'm interested in and want to get certified in, is Immunity to Change, Bob Keegan and, yes, and Lisa Leahy. And it doesn't surprise me, you know, knowing, you know, even hearing you quote Jung, and, you know, knowing that you worked with scientists, because they are folks who are known in our world as being very steeped in research, and it's not like the woo-woo side of leadership. It's like there's all sorts of constructs and research that go into it. So as someone who's certified, I wonder if you'd be willing to just share kind of how you find their teachings most useful as you work with clients.
I was exploring the internet one day, and of course, in graduate school, I had read Bob's, you know, earliest book, and I one day found Bob speaking like to the Minneapolis ODA Organization Development Group. So I called him and I said, you know, you're a developmental psychologist. What are you doing in our space? And I formed a friendship with him, or colleagueship with him. And we did a lot of work together at Roche during the integration of Roche and Genentech.
Okay.
And went on to do a number of Immunity to Change interventions, workshops at that point. And that also gave me an opportunity to study with Bob and Lisa through their program. And yes, quite a wonderful experience to think about, you know, what we do and what we don't do that prevents meaningful change.
Yes. And I mean, one of the reasons I wanted to ask you about it is as a bridge to the topic of change, because like, mm-hmm. Over the past few years, I think, I mean, change was already quick, but it's accelerated even faster because of the pandemic than it was. You know, velocity, I think, the second derivative, you know, the speed of the velocity has quickened. And so I think not just knowing what's the ADKAR model for change, or what does mm-hmm. John Cotter say the eight mm-hmm. steps of change are? Yeah, mm-hmm. fine. Like we all know that. and we need that. And like the Immunity to Change piece. And as you just said, what encourages people to change and what is impeding people from change, getting inside of those or underneath those is how we actually move people through the steps.
Sure. And I think, you know, that entire process begins with the worry box and identifying what worries you. And, you know, from there you can begin to build a goal and engage in a process of understanding your competing assumptions and the loops in which we engage, and the powerful role of immunity in preserving our status quo and our self-interests.
Yep.
So the ability, again, you know, to hold yourself out as an object, as a person who has authorship and can change.
Yeah, absolutely. So folks who are watching or listening, if this topic is sparking an interest in you, start with those two things that Mike just mentioned. You know, so what are you worried about? And what are the competing assumptions underlying that are keeping you worried?
Yeah, that's right? A way to think about it. Yeah, it's a good start.
And, you know, because it's like, we can't take action until we have some of that figured out in our heads. Otherwise, we're always going to be doubting ourselves. And so we need to get that clarity.
And it's really what I, you know, bring in. I think my signature model of coaching executives and aspiring executives to a point where we can, you know, set goals. And in my process, what we're working on is working on catalyzing those words, catalyzing those goals, and then beginning to capitalize on the environment and run experiments. What can the environment tell us about these behaviors? What can our tests tell us about when we try on new behaviors? And then conditioning the person to repeat these growth cycles in their organization and within their team.
Yep. You recently wrote an article that I would love to tout and just have you talk about a little bit. It was, I believe, on LinkedIn, 5 authentic actions to guide the significance of your life and career.
Uh-huh. Yes. And this may be a recent article in response to the changing world of work and how work from home is possible for many now in a more sustained state than we previously may have thought about it in human resources. So of course, there are certain pathways I think that people can take. You know, so much of it, Chaney, begins with self-awareness about speaking the truth, about being kind to others, about fostering collegiality, and about telling the truth. You know, there are no ways around that. So, you know, and I think we can be, you know, clear on the differences between truth and transparency and, you know, what happens when there are conflicts in either of those spaces. An authentic leader, he or she, or they know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we pause there? Mm. What would you say is the difference between truth and transparency? Because I think a lot of people will hear that and go, wait, do I actually know what the difference is? Because I think that's what, and again, this might just be my experience, but I have a lot of leaders who you know, listen to people like us talk about transparency, and then they say, oh, but you know, I can't tell people about that yet. I've been told, you know, it's got to stay just in the executive suite for now, so I can't be transparent, or you know, whatever. And so people think that truth and transparency are mutually exclusive. So what's your take on that?
Well, let's take this example. Let's say an executive, I mean, to your earlier point, has a diagnosis for cancer. And he tells you that. And then a few weeks later, perhaps someone on that team says, you know, it doesn't look like Fred or Harry or John is doing very well. And I'm concerned. The question is, well, what do you do then? Do you be transparent about what you know about the person's cancer diagnosis, or do you honor your truth to the person who confided in you? And there, I think you have to, you know, make a judgment to err on the side of truth. That someone confided in you, it's important that you maintain that confidence. And you can always direct somebody, say, hey, you've made these observations, why don't you ask? And, you know, and that person is free and clear to choose a path to which they want to address things. But as we talked about in our pre-show discussion, you know, generally, if it can be found out, it will be found out in an organization. And, you know, once you tell somebody something in an organization, it often escapes because we don't understand these differences around truth and transparency. Sometimes people say to me, oh, hey, Mike, is it okay to tell a lie? I said, why are you asking me that? You know, I don't know. You know, I don't think so. What I do know and what I can tell people, though, is that based on observation and experience, that when people are not truthful to one another in the workplace, it corrodes trust.
Yes.
And once that trust corrodes, it's difficult to regain it. Back to our earlier point, you know, trust and integrity go hand in hand.
Yes, exactly. And I'd say truth and integrity go hand in hand, or at least in the example you just gave, because if you promise someone you would keep something to yourself, then staying in integrity is honoring that truth, but you're also being transparent by saying, it's not my place to say, you know, when others ask you, right? That's being transparent. Like betraying a confidence is not necessarily being transparent.
Right. You know, it goes back to the Greek, the early Greek definitions around integrity is know thyself.
Yep.
And that is the journey of a lifetime.
Yes. we could go on about these topics. And at the end of the day, it's like, people, be good to each other, you know, be kind, do your best. And these things, they sound so simple, yet we all know they're not easy. So,
well, that's why there are authentic jerks.
Right. So I really appreciate you crystallizing your experience into this book that I want to remind people about. So Integrity by Design, Working and Living Authentically. And one review says, this book calls you to your higher purpose, to the aspiration to work and live authentically. Every possibility for success begins with a life designed with integrity. So a few last questions for you. One is, where can people buy that book?
The easiest place to buy it is on Amazon.
Okay.
If you just go to Amazon and type in my name, Mike Horn, or you type in Integrity by Design, it will come up. You can also just go straight to my website. I don't know if this is a question you have.
Next question, how can people reach you? So yes, please fire away.
Mike-Horn, H-O-R-N-E.com, Mike-Horn.com. That'll point you in all of the directions and also give you access to some great resources. There are a couple of eBooks up there on meditating for authentic leadership, and two eBooks full of over 100 different meditations on working and living authentically and on leading authentically. Also a sample chapter of Integrity by Design, if that's what floats your boat. So lots of resources on Mike-Horn.com.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to avail myself of the 100 meditations because I can never find enough ways to meditate well.
Wonderful.
So just part of the shiny object syndrome that I have sometimes.
Yeah.
So folks, thank you so much for joining us today. And, you know, a few of the big highlights for me, just by way of recap, is don't hesitate to have a BFF at work. There's lots of benefits from it. And it is a fallacy or a fantasy to think that we can separate our work and our personal life, that it is really about blend. And it is such a panacea to have someone on your side and that you can trust at work. Thinking through, what does it look like for you to be authentic as you work and to bring more of how you live outside of work authentically into the workplace, and know that that's okay. And that there will actually be more congruency and more integrity in your relationships if you're able to do that. And I love the sort of impromptu little convo we had at the end about the difference between truth and transparency. And I am going to meditate on that a little more because I think there's really something very rich there. So Mike, any last words for the leadershifters today?
Yes. Everyone deserves to be loved. Bring that to your work. Bring that to your practice. It'll change the world. Secondly, if you will indulge me, I've just enjoyed my discussion and appearance with you, Shani. Thank you so much for involving me and connecting me to your network.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing everything with us today, both the wisdom and the heart that you so clearly brought to our discussion today. The world needs not just more love, but also more heart. They kind of, that's not a but, that's an and. They go together.
Yeah.
All right. Until next time, leadershifters, take care.